all got to do with that finished work that Jesus committed on the cross that day. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. I want to talk about the crucified Jesus. The crucified Jesus. If you'll notice our cross here in our building on your left, Jesus is not hanging there now. It's an empty cross. And because it's an empty cross, we have the victory. But there was a day there outside of Jerusalem in which Jesus hung on the cross, and he did so for the remission of our sins. In verse 5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." You know, we're living in a time, for the first time in church history, where spiritual leaders are being sold new methods instead of an opportunity to meet God in a fresh way. This philosophy has no historical precedent and in reality denies the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're told not to offend anyone with our preaching. That's right. I've read the book. And they say plainly in there, they're serious about this. Do not offend anyone with your preaching. We live in such a politically correct time that people who call themselves believers are coming up with these ideas and sharing them. They're teaching them in some of the schools and colleges where future pastors and future preachers are making preparation. Now, it could be like this. There was one time a pastor who never prepared during the week, and on Sunday morning he'd sit on the platform while the church was singing the hymns, and he was desperately praying, "Oh Lord, give me a message. Oh Lord, give me your message." One Sunday, while desperately praying for God's message, he heard the Lord say, "Hey Ralph, here's my message. You're lazy." Now, I'm not talking about that problem. I'm not talking about pastors who are lazy and waste their time not making preparation. I'm talking about pastors who miss the point. They may use a Time magazine article as their proof text instead of just an illustration. They may just get up there and preach Sunday in, Sunday out with a big smile on their face and say, "God loves you." And pretty much that's their message. God loves you. Never warning them about their sin. Never warning them of what the consequences will be if they don't repent of their sin. And woe be unto them if they would ever tell people there's a place called hell and that those who are not saved will go there. When we tell people what they need to hear in a spirit of love, God will work in those people and many will trust in the Lord. If the gospel message is spoken with compassion and with the help of the Holy Spirit, lives will be touched and Jesus will be glorified. But it won't come by soft-selling the gospel or by mixing the message with human ingredients. People don't need God less today. That's impossible. But unless the preacher presents the truth boldly and lovingly, people will just sit there week after week after week unchanged or find better things to do on Sunday. Now this indictment has come to me. This week I've had to inventory the way I preach. Because there are people in Herman Baptist Church, some of them have been here the whole time I've been here, over 13 years. And some of those individuals have not grown. In fact, some of those individuals have gone backwards, if that's possible. They're not serving the Lord the way they used to serve the Lord. I take that as a bad reflection on my preaching. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is enough to save us. But it's also enough to keep us energetic, to keep us excited, to keep us in the ministry, to keep us growing. There's nothing wrong with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong. The gospel of Christ is not lacking. But there are those people in churches all around our nation and throughout the world who go from week to week and they're unchanged. And folks, I know this much, that the Word of God teaches that when the word is given, there must be change. There must be change. We can't just sit there and listen to the gospel and never be changed. But if we let apathy get into our lives, you know what that is? You just don't care. You get to the place that you just don't care. You don't care about the lost. You don't care about the church. You don't care about hurting believers. You get to that place of apathy, or you get to that place to where you're just too busy. The world has crept in, and the scheduling of the world has come in on you. And you're letting this take you away, and this take you away, and this other thing takes you away. That was not the model of the first century church. The model of the first century church was everywhere these people went, they shared Jesus. Their number one priority was to get the gospel out. That was their priority. Look at a couple of things here. First of all, Paul's message in Thessalonica. He said, our gospel is not a counterfeit gospel. I'll read verse 5 again. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. It was not a counterfeit gospel. It was the genuine thing. I've heard this before, but I agree with it. You can go to a church where the worship is not that great. The music and all that, it's just not that great. The preaching is substandard. But when that man opens his mouth and starts to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, everything changes. Because whether the gospel of Jesus Christ comes from Billy Graham, or it comes from a fella who is hiding behind mama's coattails, if the word of God is given through the gospel, that gospel is powerful enough to change the heart. And that's where it is today. Paul's message was the message that he had received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." If you read carefully all the gospel sermons in the book of Acts, they came across with simple purity. They spoke of God's love. They taught about man's sinful condition. Man was not only sinful, but he was lost. And today, people don't want to be called lost. They don't want to be called sinners. And the remedy provided only through Jesus Christ. That's what the teachings of the book of Acts is all about. We talked about the shedding of blood on the cross. In many churches today, the blood is not mentioned. We don't want to have that slaughterhouse religion, they say. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It means there's no payment for sin. You can't get past it. You've got to have the shedding of blood. And these sermons also talk heavily about the resurrection. It asked for repentance from sin, and it talked about childlike faith in Christ. Nothing more. That was the simple message. That was the secret of the power of the gospel. As huge numbers of people turned away from their old lives and became new creations in Christ, they became born again. That's something else a lot of preachers are told not to say anymore. Don't tell people that they must be born again. Well, how in the world are you going to express it? Jesus said, a man must be born again. Paul's gospel message was full of the supernatural. He talked about a virgin birth. He talked about God in the form of man bearing the world's sin on his body. He talked about a resurrection from the dead. And that supernatural gospel bore supernatural results. Now let's talk about the message. The message we share. The message that we share is simple. God saved. That's the message. Greek culture loved beauty, and the idea of a crucified God was just too much for them to take in. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. In Deuteronomy 21, it talks about the man who would be hung on a tree. And it was just too gross. It was just too ugly a picture. Deuteronomy 21, 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So when the early preachers went out preaching about Jesus dying on a cross, he was literally hung on a tree. These people didn't want to hear it. No, that's there's no way God could be hung from a tree. This became a stumbling block for them to become believers. These were among the challenges that Paul faced as he preached. The gospel of Jesus, crucified for the sins of the world, is a hindrance to many because it describes all of us as sinners needing a Savior. Proud men and women of the 21st century are offended by such a humbling indictment against them. People say we're judging them. To others, the whole idea of God, sin, and salvation is dismissed as being outdated, primitive superstition. It's anything but that. Theodore Epp, founder of Back to the Bible Radio Ministry, realized something was wrong when he stopped receiving critical mail. Convicted that he was not challenging the flock enough, he changed his preaching. He said, "I'm afraid that when I'm pleasing everybody, I'm not pleasing the Lord." He later said, "And pleasing the Lord is what counts." There's times when I preach hard sermons. I don't mean they're hard subject matter to me, that I don't understand them. I'm saying that they're hard messages. Most every time I preach a hard message, something that I know is going to hit some people right in their nerves. It's going to cut them to the quick. I know it will. I go away from that time at this feeling like I'm a daddy who just punished my child. And God has to get a hold of me and say, "No, you told it the way I wanted you to tell it. You gave them scripture to back up what you said. I wanted you to tell them the truth so they will turn from their way." And then about Tuesday or Wednesday, I get to feeling a little better. But Monday's usually a hard day. Because I see so many who keep on going. Never change. Still having the same problem. And in a lot of cases, I don't even think they realize. Don't even think they realize what they're doing. The third thing. It's all about Jesus and His sacrifice for our sins. Remember that. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what we believe. There are certain issues in the church today. And people say, "Well, I believe this about that issue." Others will say, "Well, I believe this other about that issue." What does God say? Because, see, that's the only one that matters. Many times I'll hear people say, "Well, I believe so-and-so." And if you ask them, "Well, what does God say?" "Well, I just believe so-and-so." They'll just repeat what they believe. They won't say what God says. Because if they said what God says, it would prove them wrong. And there's more. There's a lot of issues in the church today, many more than there used to be 30 years ago. Many more. And some people fall on one side of the line, some people fall on the other side of the line. I read in the scriptures that the best way for a body to be blessed, a church, is to be in unity. And if you have certain issues that a church is divided on, how can there be unity? How can there be unity? It breaks my heart when somehow or another I hear that a church member is living in sin. It breaks my heart. You say, "Preacher, surely you don't." Yes, I do. I get that word. How do you know? God just lets it come to me. Do you not realize this work we do is spiritual? Do you not realize this work we do from God's standpoint, it's supernatural? It's not anything I learned in school. It's not something they trained me to do. When I get on my knees and pray, and I pray for the church, do you think God does not speak? Let me tell you. He does. Sometimes it's heartbreaking. Because, you know, this life we have is all we have here. And then it's heaven. He wants us to live for His glory now. He doesn't want us doing things that ruin our testimony. He doesn't want us going about not forgiving others. He doesn't want us to go about with a chip on our shoulder. He wants us to be victorious. Now, many preachers today take the Old Testament scriptures and deliver sermons without connecting the Old Testament passage with the truth that comes out of the New Testament. Like the message of the gospel promises new life, Acts 5:20. But what new life is that? It's the new spiritual life we can have only through Christ. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Listen, Christ is your life. You don't have opinions. Christ is your life. He said, well, I disagree with that. Really? He says, when Christ, who is our life, appears. How can you disagree with that? Christ is your life. You don't have your own life anymore. Well, I believe in so-and-so. I believe this is right. I believe this. Should say, thus saith the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. James said, you ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You need to be listening to God. God once spoke through Samuel, but that is not our message today. We must remember that in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Hebrews 11:1-2. God has given us many truths in the Bible, but His final word to all of us is Jesus. Every answer to every problem is found in Jesus. The only true image of the invisible God is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Folks, you don't have opinion. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. You learn from God. You form your opinions, if you're going to call them an opinion. You form your opinions from the Word of God. And they move from being opinions to being beliefs. See, the enemy can shake your house all up when all you're standing on is opinion. But if you're standing on belief and convictions, you are unshakable. But beliefs and convictions that are unshakable are those that are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Again, Paul said, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I'm coming back to that message. I want to tell you this. I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and crucified. I invite you to come back to that. I invite you to come back to that place. It will change your life. You'll get your eyes off the world and the things that entice you in the world. And you'll come back to Christ. The word on every pastor's lips and every believer's lips should be Jesus. Why is that? Because only in Jesus is there pardon, power, wisdom, and the new beginning people are longing for. Your kids, your grandkids, they need to hear you talk about Jesus. It's totally irrelevant what spiritual forces or human hardship confront us. So many times we think about what a hard time we're having in this life. That's irrelevant. Because the gospel of Jesus is still the power of God to save and transform people in our own personal mission field. Yes, we can try to help people with their problems. And I've learned this after years of counseling. When people have problems, yeah, you can do some counseling with them. But the most important counseling I can give people is to point them to Jesus and to point them to the Word of God. They don't always like that. I tell them things that the Word of God says, and then they go out and they say, I don't like that. Well, they're not liking something that I said. They don't like what God says. They got to take that up with God. I invite you to do that. See how that works. Huh. Yeah, go to God. I don't like what you say here, God. He'll say, hey, where were you when I created all this? Where were you when I needed to ask you a question? That's what he'll say. Listen, God is holy and God is 100% right. And we need to agree with God. What does all this mean? It means if we dilute the gospel message, we have ended up with less influence on unbelievers and decreasing spirituality among professing believers. There's the indictment against me. Some of you, your spirituality has been diluted. Your spirituality has been diluted. That's my problem. Now, what will get that off of my shoulders and back on your shoulders is to remind you of the truth. And that's what I'm doing today. And it'll be off my shoulders at the end of this message. If your spirituality has been diluted, if you have compromised with the world, if you have thoughts and beliefs and attitudes that are worldly and not spiritual, then your spirituality is diluted. It is weakened. It is mixed with that of the world. All the statistics confirm this to be true. No one who loves Jesus can be happy with the current state of affairs. If you really love Jesus and you're not living for Jesus, how can you be happy? But it can dramatically change if we return to the message God gave us in the beginning. You remember the message you heard in the beginning? Jesus saved. Jesus transformed. Jesus wants you to follow Him. I think some believers, they use the excuse, well, I'm just tired. I've done it long enough. Somebody else can do it. That won't work. If God's called you to do something, do you think He takes that back? It just doesn't work that way. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, for boldness, to speak the gospel message in love, no matter the reactions toward us, no matter what. We need to pray for pastors and churches to become lighthouses in an ever-darkening world as we hold firmly to the Word of life in Jesus. Oswald J. Smith said, "The world does not need sermons. It needs a message. You can go to seminary and learn how to preach sermons, but you'll have to go to God to get messages." I want to see everyone in here be a missionary for Herman. To do that, you got to get on the right path. To do that, you got to check up on your testimony. How's your testimony? Do people see Jesus in you all the time? The people that you need to witness to, do they see Jesus in you all the time? I think of Billy Graham. Oh my goodness. Billy Graham, for years and years and years, that simple message. Right? You remember watching Billy Graham on TV, or maybe you were fortunate enough. I know I was there, Judy was there in Charlotte years ago. And when he came to Charlotte and was at the football stadium, got to hear him live. Every time I've ever heard Billy Graham preach a message, it's a simple, bottom shelf message. Because he's an evangelist. And he gives you Jesus. And he tells you during and at the end of that message, he tells you, listen, Jesus can change your life. If you'll only come to him, he'll change your life. Year in, year out. That was Billy Graham's message. Billy Graham is still around. God has blessed him so much. He goes into the hospital and you think, well, maybe now's the time. The Lord's going to take him home. But he gets stronger and they take him back to his house. He's old. He's slow. But his mind is still sharp. And he still is giving that same message to anybody who will hear it. Jesus. See, always preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This must be our message. I'm honored to stand behind the cross today. And I'm so glad that I didn't have to get nailed to a cross, aren't you? But to lift up the one who wore that crown of thorns. That's what this symbol is about. When we talk about the empty cross, we're lifting up Jesus because He was the one who hung on the cross. You want to just be a nominal believer? I don't think there's any such thing. You just want to get by? God's not pleased with that. God wants you to be alive. God wants you to be dynamic. God wants you to walk the holy path. God doesn't care about your opinion. He doesn't have to ask you for an opinion. And He's not interested in you giving other people opinion. He wants you to give them the truth of the Word. Even if that points out a sin that's in your life. The best way to take care of that is repent. Repent. Confess your sin. Stop doing it. That's what repentance means. You turn away from it. You don't do it anymore. You live for Jesus. The burden's off me now. It's on you. Feels pretty good. I've been thinking about this all week long. Just praying, Lord, let me get to that moment. Let me have that one more time to tell them the truth. This altar is going to be open. You're going to observe the Lord's Supper. You don't want to come to the Lord's Supper table with unconfessed sin. You don't want to do that. You want to honor the table. You want to honor the elements because of what they represent. You need to confess your sins to God. You don't have to tell me about it. But you need to give them to God. Is God calling you to some area of ministry? You think, well, God just got me up on the shelf right now. God wants to use you. There's millions, billions of people who still need to hear the message of Jesus. You bow with me? Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you call us and you enable us to preach and teach the word of God. We thank you for those believers who stand in the gap faithfully every week. And they share the word of God. And they, not only in classrooms here at the church, but out there in the world, they come in contact with lost people. And they boldly tell them about Jesus. They don't give them some other worldly philosophy. They don't give them their opinions. Well, I think you ought to do this, or I think you ought to do that. But they give them Jesus. And change comes out of that. Father, I pray that I've done that today. I pray that no one sees me. I pray that they only see Jesus, high and lifted up in all of His glory. I pray for salvation for souls today. I pray for your people to come back to you in great power, Lord. Energize them so that they can go out and be effective for Christ. So they can be effective not only in their families, but in the workplace, at school, wherever they're found. Lord, give us holy boldness. Let your Spirit come and just cover us with your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand with me?